Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by His Spirit, speaking to us in the heart. He has so much to say to His people. And His work in us can be so easy. Only if He can get us on board, hearing Him, counting on Him, following Him. I've noticed that for years that there are many good men of God, people that I greatly looked up to, when the Lord sent me to them with the message about following God. It was not received like I thought it would be. But, the Lord taught me over time that the word we receive, it comes to us in seed form, a thought. Thoughts of God. Just like when a person gets saved, it grows and develops in their heart. But sometimes a message has an urgency with it, and it has to meet a time frame. There's a time frame that if you choose to follow God, He'll work with you. Now, what I mean by getting on board with Him, that's when you say, I'm going to do this. I'm going to trust God with my life, with my future. I'm going to complete His assignments. I'm going to do it His way and not lean to my own understanding. And I know for a fact that's a great challenge, because while I was teaching people about following God in ministry, I had my own struggles following Him in business. And I sympathize with everybody, because everybody has the same challenge. But if you can take Him at His word, if you can take the Holy Spirit at His word and trust Him, everything you don't understand, it'll happen over time. Because as you are faithful with each steps, you're faithful. The Lord's going to give you revelation and insight for the next one. You know, God sent Moses to Egypt 10 times, 11 times. He went the first time and warned the Pharaoh, let the people go. The miracle of the staff and the snakes happened. He threw his rod down. It became a serpent. His magicians did the same thing. Their rods became serpents. His rod ate their rods. And then it turned back into his staff and he picked it up. Now, the second time he had to go back to Pharaoh, he went back with more confidence. The third time he went back to Pharaoh, he had even more confidence. The fourth time he went back to Pharaoh, he had even more confidence. When it got to the tenth time, he knew that God was with him. He was not emotionally moved by Pharaoh and his pitiful condition. At first, when you walk into the king in the name of the Lord and all you know is God told you to go and tell this man these words, it's intimidating. It's very intimidating. He's got soldiers. He's got guards. He's got people. He's got your people captive. And you're walking in there just like Moses did. And this is precisely how I felt when I would go to these men of God with a message about following God. Now, that could be taken many ways. I could be accused of them of being sinister, but I was not. Because the Lord gave me how to... See, men lean to their own ways, and they think that's the plan of God. They're not scripturally in error. But see, there's a lot about following God people don't understand. Men... They kind of get a ministry sometimes, just like people go get a job. They go to school, they get trained, and then they put in resumes at different places. And then the people vote on it to see where the pastor's going to be. And some people are wise enough to pray and ask the Lord to bless them to get the right pastor. And then the pastor is wise enough to pray and ask the Lord to send him to the correct church. But in all of this business, man is involved. Now, following God goes on this wise. You go in prayer and you seek the Lord on what he wants you to do. If he called me to the ministry, that means he has a plan for me. And all I got to do is take all my wisdom and put it beside me and go before the Lord in prayer and say, Lord, I present myself. What do you want me to do now? And then whatever he say do, you do that. You've already finished college. You've finished school. You've gone to churches. You've gone to Bible college. You've taken time to get to know the Lord and he called you to the ministry. Now, I'm presenting myself a living sacrifice. I'll do whatever you say. That's the kind of person that God can do something with if he's sincere. That kind of sincerity, my friend, is faith. Because you don't know what's going to happen. You've never seen it on the wise that God is going to show you. It haven't been revealed to anybody you know. And you've got to receive what he's saying enough to go out in life and do it. In the face of every challenge, every type of challenge that's going to definitely come your way. Because Satan don't want the plan of God to be seen in the earth. When you start praying like that, the enemy starts surrounding you, trying to figure out a way to get in and mess it all up. And I know this. He's going to send anybody you look up to give you the wrong advice. If they're willing to do it, he'll cause them. They may not even be thinking about what you're doing. But the enemy will cause them to be concerned and suspicious. And then they're going to try to help. And he knows this. Just like Job's friends, they were trying to help him. His brothers didn't even show up. He had two brothers. They didn't show up. His daddy didn't even show up. Issachar didn't show up. None of the other patriarchs showed up because he was Issachar's third son. Now, but his friends came to help. And the enemy used their perceptions against Job to question his loyalty to God, to make him feel like he was a sinister saint with secret sins, that he had gone off the deep end somewhere and they were trying to get him back on board. It's a bad feeling when nobody believes in you. And there's going to be a time when it's going to seem like nobody believes in you. But I'm going to tell you who does believe in you. Jesus believes in you. Just like we believe in him, he believes in us. Just like we believe the Holy Spirit, even greater so, the Holy Spirit believes in us. He knows what we can do if we're willing. The Father, we believe in the Father. Father God, he believes in us. We're made in his image. How can he not believe in us? When it comes down to our will, if we're willing and obedient, he can move in our lives. Now, what we're asking the Lord to do, when he gives us an anointing, that's a treasure. And some people throw diamonds and they skip them across the river because they think they're rocks. You know, little children find diamonds in Africa and they skip them across the river because they think that they're rocks. They don't know that they're so valuable. You can buy a house. They're worth millions of dollars or hundreds of thousands of dollars, and they skip them across the lake. And they land at the bottom of the lake because they don't know that they're valuable. The same thing with the anointing. Now, the anointing is foundational, and you must have truth, and you must treasure it enough to live according to the word of God. But that's why anointed people do foolish things, because they don't understand how valuable that treasure really is and how it works and how it multiplies in obedience. It doesn't multiply when people start coercing people and tricking people and running schemes. Now, now you want God to bless you in ministry. Your prayers avail much, but you're a stumbling block because the anointing is not handled right. And you still think that I can do it my way. I can put in resumes and go to the church that I select or the people vote me in. God can use all those things, and sometimes he had to. He had a better route, but they took a lesser route, and he had to deal with what they gave him. Now, Jesus didn't feed the 5,000 with nothing but what the little boy had. He said, "What do you have?" And what he had, he multiplied that. Now, if the boy had some beefsteaks and some rye bread or whatever, you know, he would have had better food to give the people. But all he had was a fish and three loaves, and he multiplied. Thank God for his mercy and grace. But I'm trying to show you something. If you present yourself a living sacrifice in the presence of the Lord, and you're so determined, you'll do it no matter what opposition comes your way. You'll carry it out. You'll contend for the faith. You'll fight back. You'll take ground. And you'll go where God sends you. When the Lord puts something in your heart, you say, "I'm going to do that." And you speak it. And you do it. And you act on it. And the Lord's going to steadily give you wisdom. And you're going to do it and speak it and act on it. You're going to overcome every satanic opposition, no matter what face he uses to bring it. Even when anointed people that you greatly respect tell you to do something, you're going to go by what the Holy Spirit said, and you're going to stick with it, you're going to speak it, and you're going to act on it. When Paul Crouch did TBN, he believed in what he was doing. He spoke it, he received the word, and he acted on it. And every day he had to do shows. Once he got the station running, he had to do it. He had to get people involved. Religious people can be so contrary. Even Christian people can be contrary. Everybody wanted their organizational spin to go on it. But he did exactly what God was giving him. He received the word. He spoke it and he acted on it. He did the very best he could do. And eventually people get on board. But if you yield and bend with every word of persuasion, it's going to come to nothing. When Mel Gibson did The Passion of the Christ, I remember those days, the articles. He shouldn't be doing this. The church was just in a frenzy, talking about how he wasn't qualified. And he did it better than anybody ever did a movie about Jesus. Nobody has ever in the history of mankind did a better portrayal of Jesus than he did. And he did it in time. Now, when the Lord desired to do this, he looked to see who he could find that would carry it out to the end and finish. And it was Mel Gibson. Sometimes he can't find what he's looking for in his ranks, because they're so busy looking at other things. There's so much that we're not receiving because people stop too short of what the Holy Spirit is guiding them to do. And they're being persuaded wrong, and the enemy has gained ground that we should have gained. And the Lord has to use the most unusual people to do his work. And to be honest with you, see, the people who love God and dedicate themselves, they don't care about how they look. They're not like Satan. But people who are always worried about how they look, they always try to shine themselves up. That's what Satan did. Jesus came down here and lived among men. He didn't mind being one of us. And he'll forever be one of us. He'll never stop being a man. Once he put on a man suit, he'll never stop being one. He became one of us to die for us. Now, in ministry, wherever he sent me, I know that there are challenges. It may not be what I desire right then. I may not be able to see what he see right then. But if God speak it, it's important. Now, over the years, just like Moses went to Pharaoh 10 times and he grew in confidence, I walked with the Lord and I've grown in confidence. I know now what I didn't know when I started. When I started, I did just like the other men of God. I tried to get out of it. But I had made a vow in 1988 that I would obey him. So because I made that vow, I went on and did grudgingly what God said do. And I found out, just like the 11 times Moses went to Pharaoh, I got bolder in my way because I saw that God was with me. So while I was learning, I asked the Lord my questions, and I learned to do that. If you ask him questions, now you can get in the, you can questions, answer questions, help you be in agreement. See, Gideon did steps to get in agreement. He put out the fleece, which we may not do. We still seek God. He was seeking God. And he did the best he could. And the Lord used what he gave him to help him become dedicated. Three or four times he asked God questions. If you're really going to save Israel by my hand, do this, do that. But first he had to get rid of sin. He cut down his daddy's idols. Burn them up. Then they called him Jerubbaal. That's the kind of person God can work with. Somebody that can start a riot if they have to. He did it at night because he was afraid of him. But he did it. Things in this world can be very challenging. And I faced every challenge that these, I'm not accusing people. This is just what they did. I expected them to do things in a more faithful way. But when they didn't, I couldn't understand why. Because these are men of God. They love the word. They preach the word. They are word of faith preachers. And I wanted to see God take them and go forward. Because I knew he could, because they had already done great things. But see, our system is dull. If you can put in resumes trying to get a church somewhere, instead of saying, Lord, what do you want me to do? And then the Lord give you a plan. The Lord will show you where to go. He'll show you. See, you can plan a church where it's not a hot spot, and it'll take longer to progress. Or you can go where the hot spot is. See, I met my pastor's mother. A little dog came to our house. And I was trying to find the owner. And I had seen her walking her dog. So I went to her house to see if she knew whose dog this might be. And she told me about Jim. She said, my son's a pastor. We got in a conversation. I told her I was a minister. She said, my son's a minister. And the Lord called him, when the Lord called him, he went out in the woods and said, I'm not coming back to you. Tell me what I got to do. And when she said that, it's like my antennas went up. I said, hey, a person that's regarding God. You know how the old German shepherd, he's sitting on the porch, and when he sees something, those ears standing up. My ears stood up spiritually. I said, he's different. He wants to see what God's going to do. And in getting to know him, the Lord sent him to his own hometown. And most preachers don't go to their own hometown because that's the least place that you're going to be successful. Around your kinfolks and friends and cousins and relatives. And he built a thriving work in his own hometown. Thank God. You know, see, God will show you where the hot spot is. And you can start, and it doesn't always look like a hot spot. Every work of God has its own brand of challenges. Some people can go somewhere and everything works out favorably, just like they desired it. But that doesn't mean it's what God has something better. Just because it's bigger and shinier and more rich, and Laodicea was rich, but they were poor at the same time. They were rich in the sense of having possessions and reputation, but they had no relationship with the Lord. And what you're going to do is have a thriving relationship with the Lord, do what he say do, and then build foundationally, and you'll have a solid church that can't be knocked over. It won't tumble like the walls of Jericho one day. But you have to follow the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Step by step, faith by faith, glory to glory. That's how it works. It can't be rushed. The fastest way to grow a church is to follow God step by step, living, presenting yourself a living sacrifice. I will do whatever you say do, Lord, because you say do it. And then you'll learn to follow him. You're going to have faith in what the Lord is doing. Once you learn to trust God, you can do this. See, people can have faith all day. Israel had faith. They obeyed Moses. They had just enough faith to obey what he said, but they were used to obeying their king. They were in the habit of obeying. And the Lord was able to do great works, but they didn't trust God. Trusting God only comes from relating to God and obeying him. We don't trust God because we should. We trust him because we find him faithful. See, faith is a verb. You act on something. As long as you're acting and speaking and acting, you're in faith. Trust is a noun. It's a thing. It's passive. I trust you. See, trust is the noun side of faith. Faith is the verb side of trust. Because I trust you, I'm going to act. Now you're in faith in the right direction. You're in faith in the direction of trust. You're in faith under the order of trust. I can't see it, but I trust you, so I'm going to use my faith and do this. The Lord gave me a direction. Because I trust you, Lord, I'm going to use my faith, speak it, and act on it. On this and only this. That's why I'm going on the 12th year of the radio broadcast. I had so many challenges, but encouragement came from people doing just the same thing I'm doing. When things look wrong, I would hear the words of my pastor and stay focused and balanced and centered. I would be balanced in doctrine. The Lord would tell me something I wasn't used to many times. And I have the responsibility of ministering his word. And I can't do it in faith unless I believe it. So I say, Lord, this is heavy. I need you to confirm this. I'm not going to throw it away, but I need a confirmation. And then in the course of my pastor's message, he say the perfect thing, and I lock in. I say, I'm in it. I'm going to do this. And then I minister that word. From there, other words come that people need. Now I'm feeding the people of God at strategic times. Spiritual wealth is growing on my life. I've taken another step. God can trust me greater, and I do a greater work the next time. Because I'm under the order of trust. Trust doesn't do anything. It gives orders. It gives us direction. God gives us direction, and trust enables us to be his conduit. Trust enables us to be an extension of him, an extension of his heart. He reveals his heart. It gets in our heart. Our mind is crazy and don't understand it. But because this word's in our heart, I got to believe God. I'm going to do this because I believe God. I'm going to speak this because I trust God. And I use my faith. And then in the end result, my mind gets renewed a little more. Some people, they cut it off at their mind. No, that's crazy. I can't see it. And when they say I can't see it, it stops. You cut it off. Because you didn't trust God in that area, which was key to the next step of your life or your ministry. And then things start collapsing. Things start getting out of control. And you become less of a candidate for God's greater purpose. How long do I present myself a living sacrifice? forever. But every time you do, it gets better and better. He's showing you how to go in and undo what the enemy has done. I didn't realize how much the enemy has done to entrap God's people, to neutralize it. See, Satan's trying to neuter the church, trying to make it sterile so it won't grow. And at the same time, get it interested in sin, to disconnect it from God totally. That's why so many people fall away. This is a time. See, two things are happening right now, presently, currently, even now, right now, in real time. Many people are coming in, and many people are leaving out of the kingdom. They've been disheartened because people have got off course. See, the falling away is going to happen before he returns. The Lord told me, he said, though there are many people he's working with. Everybody that wants to be saved, he's saving them. But people who are hardening their heart, he's hardening their heart some more so they will leave. They become false disciples. They become lukewarm. Pastor Jackson said that's the final stage of backsliding, which is a bad condition. But they're going to the point of no return. They keep hardening their heart in the light, just like the Pharisees did. They tried to kill Jesus, and the people did too. They were worse than the Pharisees. When Pilate tried to rescue Jesus into the hand of the Jews, they shouted more than the Pharisees. Kill him! Crucify him! That's what they became. But that's not how they started. They used to love Moses' words, but they got off track. And the only way to stay on track is to present yourself a living sacrifice and do what God said do. But preacher, we're not saved by works. I know. We're saved by life. But the more we live, the better we serve. The blood of Jesus is still in effect. You're going to live forever unless you go back to the world like Demas and act crazy like Diotrephes. But some people have. They were looking for an excuse to do what they wanted to do. And the devil gave them one. And sin hardens your heart. And because they went contrary and would not repent, the Lord did plead with them because he loves them. The angels rejoiced when they got saved. He loves them dearly. But their sin made them bitter against God, to the point that when people tried to correct them, they got mad and justified their sin. Now God's going to harden their hearts some more, and they're going to fall away and go out of the church. They might still go to church. They might still preach. They might still sing in the choir, but their heart is far from God. But while they're going out, God is reeling people that really want to be saved in. And now we're at the last moments. And the Lord told me something that I had to really work on to receive. I believed him because I'm used to trusting him. But on more than one occasion, he said, I already saved the people I was after. But now they're praying, and I'm working with the people they're interceding for. And there's a way I can save them if my people follow me now. But if my people fail to follow me, I'm going to return before the date. He already set a date. There's a date. There's a line drawn now. There's a date coming up that I don't know, and God won't reveal it to me. But there's a date that he's got to come back in order to keep his word. And that day will be the last day of grace. Unless the church follow him now, he can save more souls before that date comes up. But it's getting to a point, if his people don't follow him, he's coming back before that date. Now, these are the revelations he's given. I can't go beyond what he said, more or less. But if we follow God, we can reel in more people. Now, he got the people he was after, but he can get many more, many millions more. if things are set right. But people can't be self-willed no more. You got to give up being self-willed and other people's self-willed ways. Even people, just because you look up to them, that don't mean that they got it all. We know in part, and we act like we know in part, and we behave like we know in part. But sometimes the Lord is looking for greater, he's ready for us to have that greater dedication. Which if we see Paul, when Paul was trained by the Lord 3 years in Arabia. Nobody trusted him. He went to Arabia. He learned from the Lord. He came back. But he didn't go right to work. He went to prayer. And the Holy Spirit blessed us to put that there so we'll know what to do too. You may have just finished Rhema or ORU or these great, wonderful schools that God has provided us with. Don't be in such a hurry is what I'm saying. Go in prayer and get revelation. Whereas God may not send you to a ministry yet. He may send you to work with another pastor. He may send you overseas. He may tell you right where to start a church right now. Whatever he do is fine. If you dedicate and put your heart in it, it's going to work. He may have you to start a radio ministry. But I didn't think about that. God did. And when you think about your life, he prepared you for whatever he said do. And you're going to love it. You're going to have a great desire for it. It's going to be good. It's going to be awesome. And it's going to be in time if you follow him now. Following God is key. Never before has it been so important and so urgent. It's urgent because we're running out of time. We just don't have the time for the word to get deep in. You got to receive the word so it'll go ahead and grow and you'll speak it and do it. Otherwise, your mind will turn it off. I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to move throughout your life.